first of all, and he showed up taking sannyas. There's some information, first of all, about the family, Chachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra. Srila Advaita Prabhu thought, Ishna himself appears to distribute the cult of devotional service, then only will liberation be possible for all people. Therefore, just as a condemned person can be relieved by a special favor of the chief executive head, the president or king, so then people of this Kali Yuga can be delivered only by the personality of Godhead himself, or a person especially empowered for this purpose. What's the report? Including what Sarvatana and Bakura are doing. Including what Sarvatana and Bakura are doing. You don't know. There's chapatis and then there's another. Also need some help. Please, just find out. Srila Advaita Acharya Prabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, event himself to deliver the fallen souls of this age. This is the advent of Lord Chaitanya from Adiyoga 13. With this in, Advaita Acharya Prabhu, promising to cause Lord Krishna to descend, began to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna with tulsi leaves and water from the Ganges. By loud cries, invited Krishna to appear, and his heated invitation attracted Lord Krishna to descend. Before the birth of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 8 daughters took birth, one after another from the womb, but just after their birth they all died. Sounds familiar, huh? Jagannath Mishra was very unhappy at the death of his children, one after another. Therefore, desiring a son, he worshipped the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. As Jagannath Mishra got a son of the name Vishwarup, was most powerful and highly qualified because, who knows why, was an incarnation of Baladev. Before Vishwarupa was the elder brother of Gaura Hari, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when arrangements were being made for his marriage, he took sannyas and left home. He took the sannyas name of Shankararanya. In 1431 Shikabda era, he disappeared in Pandarapura, in the district of Solapura. As an indication of Sankarshan, he is both the ingredient and immediate cause of the creation of this material world. He is different from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Angsa and Angsi, or the part in the whole, not different. He belongs to the quadruple station of Chatur Vyuha as an incarnate of Sankarshan. In the Gaura Chandrodaya, it is said that Vishwarup, after his demise, remained mixed with Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And I can't explain that, so don't ask. Remained mixed with Hitler. So now here's a reference from Adi Lila chapter 50, beginning with text 11. Just immediately preceding is the pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leaving his mother for one benediction. charity, so he then requested her to please observe a codicil. So she readily agreed. Thereafter, seeing Vishvarupa, a grown-up youth, Jagannath Mishra wanted to find a girl and arrange a marriage ceremony for him. Him is with a little H. Hearing of this, Vishvarupa immediately left home and went away to have sannyas and travel from one place of pilgrimage to another. When Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra heard of the departure of their elder son, Vishvarupa, they were very unhappy. But Lord Chaitanya tried to console them. My dear mother and father, he said, the Lord, it is very good that Vishvarupa has accepted the sannyas order, for thus he has delivered both his father's family and his mother's family. Purport. It is sometimes said that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not approve of the acceptance of sannyas order in this Kali Yuga because of Nishana. It is said, Ashvamedha Gavandham Sanyasam Palapaitrakam Devarena Sitot Patin Kala Pancha Devarajayet. In this Kali Yuga, the sacrifice and the performance of Ashvamedha or Gomedha Yajna, sacrifice in which a horse or cow is offered, should be avoided, as should the acceptance of sannyas, the renounced order of life. This is a quote from Brahmavivarta Purana, Krishna Janma Kanda 185-180. Nevertheless, we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself accepted sannyas and approved of the sannyas of his elder brother, Vishvarupa. It is clearly said here, Balahaila Gurupa Sanyas Karaila Pitrakula Matrava Dri Udharila. Therefore, should it be thought that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made statements that are contradictory? No, actually he did not. It is recommended that one if sannyas to dedicate his life for the service of the Lord, anyone must take that kind of sannyas. For by accepting such sannyas, one does the best service both in his paternal and maternal families. But one should not accept the sannyas order and a mindful, which has practically no meaning. We find many Mayavadi sannyasis simply loitering in the street, thinking themselves Raman or Narayan, and spending all day and night begging so they can fill their hungry bellies. Mayavadi sannyasis have become so degraded that there is a section of them who eat everything just like hogs and dogs. It is such degraded sannyas that is prohibited in this age. Actually, Srila Shankaracharya's principles for sannyas were very strict. Many of the so-called Mayavadi sannyasis became degraded because of their false philosophy, which propounds that by accepting sannyas, one becomes Narayan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that kind of sannyas, but the acceptance of sannyas is one of the items of the Varnashram Dharma. How then can it be rejected? Next text, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assured his parents that he would serve them. Thus, the minds of his father and mother were satisfied. Of course, later on, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he didn't keep his promise. And there are some references here as well. This is a volume 1 of Lilamrita, and there's a mention here about Prabhupada's taking sannyas. Here is one that's about Bhaktisiddhanta telling Prabhupada in a dream to take sannyas. One night, Abhay had an unusual dream. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta appeared before him, beckoning. He was asking Abhay to home and take sannyas. Abhay awoke in an emotional state. How horrible, he thought. He knew it was not an ordinary dream, yet the request seemed so difficult and unlikely. Take sannyas. At least it was not something he could do immediately. Now he had to improve the business. And with the prophets, he would print books. He went on with his duties, but remained shaken by them. This dream is to give some reference. Prabhupada had two businesses operating simultaneously, one in Lucknow and one in Calcutta. And with these, he had already started Godhead magazine. References of what materials are that he had included in that transcribed. After two issues of Back to Godhead, Abhay had to stop. It was costly, but he kept writing regularly, working on the Upanishad, turning out new articles, philosophy purports on the scriptures, even in the same book in which he wrote his pharmaceutical formulas. Prabhupada's life at this time, he's still a householder. Very much involved with his business, but also very much involved starting his writing and publishing. And then later on, here's another reference. This is in 1948. So this first dream came in 1945. Now again in 1948, Abhay closed his Lucknow factory. In 45, he closed his Kedah establishment. Now in 1948, he's closed his Lucknow factory. He had fallen behind in employees' salaries, and since 1946, he'd been paying past rent in installments. But when sales dropped off, continuing the factory became impossible. He lost everything. Srila Prabhupada speaking. I started a big laboratory in Lucknow. Those were golden days. My business flourished like anything. Everyone in the chemical business grew, but then, gradually, everything dwindled. Unquote. With the help of some acquaintances in Abad, he opened a small factory there, in the same city where his Prayag pharmacy had failed 15 years before. He moved to Allahabad with his son, Vrindavan, and continued manufacturing medicine, while the rest of the family remained at Energy Lane in Calcutta. Abhay continued his living. But now he was off and away months at a time. And then he had the dream second time. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati appeared before him. Again he was beckoning, indicating that Abhay should take sannyas. And again Abhay had to put the dream aside. He was a householder, many responsibilities. To take sannyas would mean giving up money. He had to earn money. Now he had five children. Why is Guru Maharaj asking me to take sannyas? It is not possible now. He goes on, the Allahabad business was unsuccessful. At present, the condition of our business is not very good, he wrote his servant, Guru, who had asked to rejoin him. When the condition gets better, and if you are free at that time, I will call for you. He worked earnestly, but results were meager. Then, much preparation for this class, so I'm trying to do the best I can. On the disappearance day of Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta, Abhay keenly felt separation from his spiritual master. He perfectly understood that Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta's actions were more important than his physical presence, and that, in fact, the spiritual master was present with his instructions. In this way, Abhay had always been with his spiritual master. Yet on this day, Abhay could not help feeling loss. He remembered how in 1932 he had been a grihastha and a disciple. At that time he had not been free to do such service as now. Yet it had been in those years that he had been able to see his spiritual master, offer obeisances before him, eat the remnants of his prasad, walk beside him, hear his voice, receive his personal glance, abide of their meetings together. How powerful had been Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta's ambition. His presence had been running day and night, printing magazines, books, the daily Nadrakash, and Europe had been a promising new preaching field. With Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati Thakur at the helm, the Gaudiya Math had entered battle against Maya's forces, and Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta had made all his disciples unafraid. Abhay had always been eager to serve his spiritual master, to serve the Gaudiya Math with its headquarters in Calcutta, but exactly how he would serve had never been clear to him until his last letter from Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati. Abhay looked back on the more than 20 years since his spiritual master's disappearance. So this makes 1952. The Gaudiya Math had been undone by its leaders, and everyone else had scattered like leaves in a storm. An unspeakable loss. As it was an old story, how the big sannyasis had disregarded their spiritual master's instructions and had intrigued, disputed, litigated, violent party factions, false leaders claiming to know the Charya. And which party had been right? No, both had been wrong, all wrong, because the Math had disintegrated. Now, there were dozens of little Maths at no preaching. No preaching as before, when he, Singha Guru, had cast fear into the Mayavadis and had led an army of young, powerful preachers to march throughout India and the world. And the great sufferers of the Gaudiya Math's disappearance were the people, the non-devotees, with little hope of being delivered from the batterings of Maya. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati had begun a spiritual revolution, but that revolution had now been overthrown by it. The scattered particles of the Gaudiya Math had settled quietly into self-satisfied, insular, almost impotent units. And it was the people in general who suffered. Abhay grew up in memories of his spiritual master. He felt secure in that his relationship with Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati was intact, continuing, but he felt helpless. He was diligently pursuing his spiritual master's order to preach in English, yet without his spiritual master's physical presence, he felt small and very much alone. At times like this, he questioned the wisdom of having left his family and business. Lamenting Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta's absence and the fall of the Gaudiya Math, composed a Bengali poem, Viraha Ashta. And then this poem is pretty. Shall I read the poem? Śrīla Prabhupāda, you are all compassionate towards the suffering jiva souls. On this occasion of your separation, I see only dejection. An unlimited ocean of mercy, cutting an illusion, Nityananda district, an ocean of flood of love of God. The Jati Gosai stopped dream. But coming yourself, Lord, you revealed this illusion. So once again, everyone was immersed in the flood of love, even one so far insignificant and sinful as I. On a strength of Lord Chaitanya's order, you sent all of your servants to the door as gurus. There was preaching everywhere, from me to the Himalayas. Now, in your absence, everything is dark. Oh, Srila Prabhupada, you are always compassionate towards the suffering jiva souls. On this occasion of your separation, I see only dejection. This reference, Srila Prabhupada is referring to Bhaktisiddhanta. Same way that Advaita Prabhu brought Lord Gaura, so did Bhakti Vinod pray. His enthusiasm brought you, on the strength of his enthusiasm you came, and made everyone understand that India is holy land. One who takes his birth in the land of Bharata must make his life perfect and preach to others. This Mahamantra message preached everywhere. Now in your absence, Lord, everything is darkness. Your ocean of compassion has again been stopped. This spear of great misery has cut through my heart. Without Lord Chaitanya's message, there is just confusion. Seeing this, all the Vaishnavas' pangs of separation. Conditioned souls are all in darkness. Once again, they are searching for peace, but they are dying in an ocean of anxiety. Oh, Srila Prabhupada, you are always compassionate towards the suffering jiva souls. On this occasion of your separation, I see only dejection. Abhas with a dark view. The golden era of preaching that had flourished in the days of the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was no longer. By the influence of Maya and our world, now I live in darkness. All devotional instructions have been destroyed. Now everything has been reversed. Unquote. Meditating at great personality, possessed of the divine power to save the entire world, Abhay expressed his feelings of this and helplessness. Quote, because of those not fixed in devotional service, many branches have spread over. Your conclusive message did not touch the ear. Where will I get the strength for the Sankirtan movement? How could he, a tiny spiritual child, survive without his spiritual master? Now, who could save the world, which was so much more oppressed than ever before? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had said that a dead man could not preach. Only one with life could preach, as long as Abhay and others could deeply regret the Gaudiya Math's failure. There is still life and no hope. If everyone obtained light and went out and made disciples, then the suffering souls in the world could be saved. It was useless to cry over what our brothers had done. Yet in seeing and resenting it, Abhay found within the being of what might have been a continuing spark that still might be. Abhay sent this poem and Vrindavan Bhajana to Keshava Maharaj, who published them in the Gaudiya Patrika. One night, Abhay had a striking dream, the same dream he had had several times before during his days as a household. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta appeared, just as Abhay had known him, the tall, scholarly Sindhi coming directly from the spiritual world, from Krishna's personal entourage. He called to Abhay and indicated that he should follow. Repeatedly, he called and motioned. He was asking Abhay to take sannyas. Come, he urged. Become a sannyasi. Abhay awoke in a state of work. He thought of this instruction as another feature of the original instruction Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had given him at their first meeting in Calcutta. the same instruction that his spiritual servant later solidified in a letter, become an English teacher and spread Krishna consciousness throughout the Western world. Sannyas was for that end. Otherwise, why would his spiritual master have asked him to accept it? That his spiritual master was saying, now sannyas, and you will actually be able to accomplish this. Formerly, the time was not right. Abhay deliberated cautiously. By accepting sannyas, a Vaishnava dedicates his body, mind, and words totally to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, renouncing all other engagements. He was doing that already. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had offered sannyas to his leading disciples so that they continue his mission. They hadn't done it. Preaching in the West had proven perilous for even the Gaudiya Math's most recognized sannyasins. How could he, a mere householder, presume that he could succeed where the others had failed? He was hesitant. The helpless, incapable feeling he had asked in his Viraha Ashtaka was there. But now his spiritual master was beckoning him over all other considerations, even over natural humility. Now, although he was ready and alone, the desire to preach just as his spiritual master had preached remained within him. A curse was sometimes quietly expressed determination. The Vedic standard and the example set by the previous acharyas was that if one wanted to lead a preaching movement, sannyas was required. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had taken us to facilitate his missionary work. Lord Chaitanya had taken since the further the Sankirtan movement. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when his young students had disrespectful towards him, treating him as an ordinary man, he had taken sannyas. Because a sannyasi is automatically respected, Lord Chaitanya's acceptance of sannyas was a Catholic tactic. As soon as he began travel out India as a sannyasi, he, meaning Chaitanya, immediately attracted thousands of followers to the Sankirtan movement. Knowing that many cheaters would accept the saffron dress and abuse the respect given to sannyasis, Lord Chaitanya had advised against this accepting sannyas in the age of Kali. He knew that cheaters and the guys would act immorally, accumulate funds, their own sense gratification, and make many followers simply enhance their own prestige, posing as swamis to cheat the public. Because the people in Kali Yuga are unable to follow the rules and regulations of sannyas, Chaitanya had recommended but just simply chant Hare Krishna. However, if a person could actually follow the rules, and especially if he had to spread the Sankirtan movement, sannyas was necessary. Abhay had approached one of his Abhay still thought of the Gaudiya Math as the headquarters of the spiritual master's mission. During the heated legal disputes, the Chaitanya Math had been the most prized acquisition, and since 1948 it had been under legal ownership of Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj. Now, although each sannyasi had his own place or places, the Chaitanya Math and Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj legally represented the Gamak entity, and I thought that if he were to take sannyas and go preach in America, he should give Chaitanya Math the first opportunity to support his work. In April 1959, Abhay wrote to Tirtha Maharaj inquiring about sannyas, as well as about the Chaitanya Math's printing some of his manuscripts. And since no one was going abroad, he volunteered to do so on behalf of the Chaitanya. Bhakti Vilas Chaitanya Maharaj replied that Abhay should first join the Chaitanya Math. He mentioned the strife that still lingered. Those who are acting against Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are motivated by their individual ambitions. Anyone who is against the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, was acting illogically and against the instructions of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So, according to Chaitanya Maharaj, the thing for Bhai to do, thing he had neglected to do for so many years, was to join the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and act under his direction. Tiraj mentioned several members of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who had recently accepted the sannyas order, and he said that a Bhai could also come one in time. He invited a Bhai to come reside at the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Quote, the houses that we have, there are rooms that are airy and well lit, we will treat you exclusively. There won't be any difficulty. We will take care that no inconveniences are caused. But as for printing books, quote, we are eagerly awaiting to print the books like Satsandhra Vedanta based on devotional service and many other rare books by the Goswamis. First we will print them. Books written through will be checked by the editorial staff, and if the funds can be raised, then they will be printed according to priority. The books will be printed only if they are favorable to the service of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Or, if the funds are raised, then there is a plan to go abroad alone. Madhava was not encouraged. The main difficulty he felt was the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's shortage of funds. Srila Prabhupada, quote, I was working with my broken brother. I went to our Chaitanya Maharaj, quote, you give me a room and print my books. Give me some money, I loan you. I had thought, this is Guru Maharaj's institution. He did not say no, but the printing of books was a difficult task for him in money. He was hardly collecting for maintaining. Printing of books was a big job, and there was no guarantee of sale. Without printing books, and to the rest, sannyas did not have any meaning for Abhay. And who knew when Chaitanya Maharaj would send his taking sannyas? There was no point in going to Calcutta just to reside in an airy, wet room. That he had already in Vrindavan. Abhay wrote back to Chaitanya Maharaj mentioning the direct order from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati to preach to the English-speaking people. He wanted to go to the West right away, and he thought that the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would welcome his offer. Both Abhay and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had their responsibilities, but perhaps they could work together to carry out the desire of their spiritual master. Abhay asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to reconsider. On May 7, 1959, Bhakti Vilas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote, my suggestion is don't make any hasty decisions. For the time being, you stay with us and engage yourself in the service of the society and accept Tridanda, sannyas. The purpose of accepting Tridanda is to serve the society. That is your desire, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will decide about your going to America to preach and to make all the arrangements. It can never be the principle of the society to let one act according to his individual attempt or desire. The society will decide, after consulting with the what is to be done, by whom. This is what I want to say. First of all, it is necessary to identify oneself with the society. In order to preach America or in foreign countries, it is important have a dignified organization in the background, and secondly, it is necessary to establish oneself in India before going to preach in foreign countries. Now it is that there are no conferences or meetings in the West as before. Communication and through the media of television. He could understand the needs and priorities of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he could not allow them to overrule what he considered the highest mandate. preaching, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had ordered. And Bhai had offered his services to the leaders of the Chaitanya Math, thinking they might also see things way. He thought that with the world crying need for Krishna consciousness, staring them in the face, they might see that this Abhayan Hubble was convinced and enthusiastic and should be sent right away with whatever he required. But they had other duties. Abhay next turned to Keshava Maharaj, Mathura. And Keshava Maharaj told Abhay to take sannyas immediately. After corresponding with Tirtha Maharaj, Abhay had felt some uncertainty about accepting sannyas, but now he was being encouraged strongly. So strongly, he resisted. But Keshava Maharaj was insistent, Srila Prabhupada, sitting alone in Vrindavan writing, "My godbrother insists on me. Bhakti Vedanta Prabhu, you must do it. Without accepting the renounced order of life, nobody can become a preacher." So he insisted. Not he insisted. Practically, my spiritual master insisted. He wanted me to become a preacher, so he forced me through this godbrother. You accept. So unwillingly, I accepted. Here is the description of the other ceremony. Keshavaji Gaudiya Math was located in the midst of one of Tara's downtown bazaars. Its main entrance, an arched doorway, led into a courtyard open to the sky through metal grating above. The architecture was similar to that of the Vamsi Gopala temple. The atmosphere was secluded as in a monastery. Abhay was a familiar, welcomed figure here. He had lived here, written and studied in the library here, edited the Gaudiya Patra, and donated the deity of Lord Chaitanya, who stood on altar beside the deities of Radha and Krishna, named Sri Sri Radha Vinoda Vihari. But his visit during September of 1959 was not an ordinary one. He entered the Math dressed in white and borrowed bubble, but he would soon be leaving dressed in saffron as Swami. Abhay had been as a renunciate for 9 years. There was no need for him to observe a ceremony or to proclaim himself a sadhu by changing to saffron dress. But it was the parampara system that a man take dandi sannyas at the end of his life. He was aware of cheating sannyasis, even in Vrindavan. He had seen so-called sadhus who did not preach but simply spent their days eating for chapatis. Some swamis of Vrindavan even indulged illicitly in what they supposedly came to reject, sex life. Some persons were making a mockery of sannyas. And there were the caste Goswamis also, who lived like ordinary hovers running temples as a business to support their families, accepting honor and donations from the public on a false basis of earth. Abhay knew of these abuses of sannyas, but he also knew the real purpose of sannyas. Sannyas was for preaching. On the morning of September 17th, 1959, in the 5x25-foot deity room on the second floor of the Keshava Jima, a group of devotees sat before the deities of Radha and Krishna in the Tanya. The deities were colorfully dressed in royal clothing and silver jewels. Radharani's right hand faced palm forward in benediction for the worship. At her side, her left hand held a flower for Krishna. Krishna stood like a dancer, placing his right leg in a casual toe pose before his left, playing his long silver flute, which he held gracefully to his red lips. His long black hair down past his shoulders, and the garland of arrowheads around his neck reached down to his knees. On right sides to the deity of Lord Chaitanya, his right arm reins, his left arm at his side, his body straight, feet together, hair was a soft in color and had large eyes, a well-formed mouth, and straight black hair down to his shoulders. One level below the deities were pictured spiritual masters in disciplic succession. Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gopishore Das Babaji, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Bhakti Pragyana Keshava Maharaj. The Bhai sat on a mat of Krishna grass beside 90-year-old Sanatana, called to receive sannyas that same day. 9 years old. Opposite the two candidates, Narayan Maharaj, Keshava Maharaj's disciple, prepared to conduct the ceremony of mantras and offering of grains and ghee and fire. Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji, Abhai's grandfather, his godbrother, known for sweet singing, played Nidanga and sang Vaishnava bhajans. We're almost finished with this section here. Sitting on a raised asana, Holiness Keshava Maharaj presided. Since there had been no notices or invitations, only the month's few residents attended. Narayan Maharaj chanted the required mantras and then sat back silently while Keshava Maharaj lectured. Then, to everyone's surprise, Keshava Maharaj asked Abhai to speak. Abhai had not expected this. Looked around at the gathering of devotees, he understood that the common language would be only Keshava Maharaj and a few others spoke English, yet he knew he must speak in English. After Abhai's speech, each initiate received his sannyasanda, the traditional head-high staff made of four bamboo rods bound together and completely enwrapped in saffron cloth. They were given their sun garments, one piece of saffron cloth for a dhoti, one for a top piece. They also used tila and tulsi neck beads and the sannyas mantra. Keshava Maharaj said that Abhai would now be known as Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj and that Sanatana would be Muni Maharaj. After the ceremony, the two new sannyasis posed for a photo, standing on either side of sannyas guru who sat in a chair. Keshava Maharaj didn't impose any strictures on Abhai. He encouraged him to go on preaching. Yet, Abhai knew that to become A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami didn't mean merely that he was giving up family, home comforts, and business that he had done 5 years ago. Changing from white cloth to sun cloth, from Abhai Babu to Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, had a special significance. It was the mandate he had required, the irrevocable commitment. Now it was only a matter of time before Bhaktivedanta Swami would travel to the West as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had ordered. This was Bhaktivedanta Swamization of his new sannyas status. The Gaudiya Patrika account of the sannyas initiation, including a biographical sketch of Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, listing the major events of his life, the article concluded. Seeing his enthusiasm and ability to write art in Hindi, English, and Bengali, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj gave instruction to take Kidandi sannyas. For 1 year he had been ready to accept sannyas in the month of Bhadra, on the day on which Vishwarup accepted sannyas, Bhaktivedanta Swami at the Sri Keshava Gaudiya Math accepted sannyas from the founder of Vedanta Samiti, Bhakti Pragya Keshava Maharaj. Seeing him accept his item of renunciation, seeing this pastime accepting the renounced order of life, we have attained perfection and enthusiasm. And that's the section. The end of the chapter. Chapter entitled A Resident in the additional comments to make on this? Pardon? Can't hear you. Maybe the others can. Special. The landlord lets you know that. Who did you hear that from? Well, they may have legal documents to comment on that. Wait, before you do that. Are there any lodges or Beth Rupert or any more comment on this? You're just saying, is there anything more one can say about that? Anything more that anyone wants to say about that? Okay. The eight children? No information is given. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, Ephraim. Since nobody has anything else to say about it, maybe it's an authorized source, maybe it's not. Maybe whoever said it to you is taking it from some authorized source. Something like that from someone, you can ask a question. From what sources is derived? And if it can't be verified, then what's the use of, especially in a public assembly, what's the use of, because then so many people are hearing it and they're thinking, well, maybe, right there. Maybe you're sitting too far away, but I can't hear it when you're... Still can't hear you. Prabhupada is in the mood of Lord Nityananda. Well, to say that Prabhupada was in the Lord, the mood of Lord Nityananda, and if you qualify that by saying the sense that Lord Nityananda was very much anxious to give fallen conditioned souls of their suffering, that's very nice. Well, that's different than what Nadini Shakti said. In the mood of delivering conditioned souls, but that's Prabhupada's mood. I first wanted to, yes, trying to say, I just first wanted to let this sink in. But if you're saying, in a sense, in the mood of Lord Nityananda, and don't call it, or just saying, anyway, it's a little risky. Maybe I'm not going to make
it.
Is this an editorial comment, or is there a conclusion? What's your... parts of your editorial comment are basically, I think, a fair response that many people are seeing as you are seeing. All the more reason for returning to basic, starting with the very basic process of hearing and chanting, studying Prabhupada's instruction, studying his books, and his life and his teachings. To make the parallel the same is not... it's not identical. Perhaps some of the manifestations come out the same. One of the principal ingredients that, from this reference, even as far back as Prabhupada's considering taking just this section that we just read, he was looking to see cooperation. That was also part of, very important part of Srila Bhaktisiddha's instruction. Any other comments on this? Too far.